for your right to party!
You're listening to the Arrowhead Live Podcast Network.
Thank you, Kansas City. We did it, baby!
Good evening, Chiefs Kingdom. I am your host tonight, CJ Jones, with my co-host, my brother, my friend, Chris Timpany. Chris, how are we doing on another glorious, victorious, amazing Victory Sunday / Victory Monday, my friend?
It feels good, CJ, you know, feeling good. Get the one seed, 14 wins. I mean, hard to be complaining too much if you're a Chiefs fan right now.
Hey, nothing ever bad about having a one seed. That's our second one seed since Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs. He broke the record for the most all-purpose yards for a quarterback in a season, breaking Drew Brees' record. Other guys got incentives. Juju got an extra $1 million, I believe.
When he had to hit 1,000 yards, and he came up short.
I think he got a certain. I think maybe it was like 250K.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was 90 catches. So he got some money up his incentive. Chris Jones finished the year, 15 sacks, DPOY type numbers. The defense total finished top 3 in sacks, Chris. And we were bottom of the league last year. I know it doesn't look flashy, but the numbers are the numbers. Numbers don't lie, Chris.
Yeah, we've talked about that D-line a number of times. It's kind of been our talking point in every single episode, how as the year's gone on, it's like we got one A-plus and about 5 B-minus to C-plus guys. And that's all you need. You got the depth. You got everyone contributing. And I like seeing Dana get a couple more sacks. Karloftis in the season. Strong. Like, that D-line, like, you know, it's sneaky good. Sneaky good.
If you look at that post-press conference that George Karloftis did in the locker room, he kind of said those same sentiments you just said. This D-line's kind of hitting their stride at the right time. And it's funny because, like, one of the reporters asked George about hitting that rookie wall, and George kind of jokingly said, Chris and Frank don't let you hit a rookie wall. They try to keep you locked in so fast and try to keep you focused so much on the game plan and the task at hand. And to see guys like Mike Dana step up, and George finished the year with 6.5 sacks, and Carlos Dunlap makes big plays. George Karloftis and Carlos Dunlap both are top 5 in the league at swatted passes. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're teaching from Joe Cullen, but it's working. Because every time a quarterback's about to make a pass, Carlos just puts those 6'6 arms.
Oh, my gosh. The ball's awesome.
Going straight down. So, and I guess that's an art form, because you know quarterbacks like to look for throwing lanes, just like Pat does, and like all the elite quarterbacks like Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. So if you have a D-line that kind of knows, hey, if you're not going to get there, get your hands up. So this D-line is definitely hitting their stride right now. Frank Clark had a good game. Unfortunately, he left the game with an injury, but Andy Reid did say in his presser today that he feels he'll be ready to go in about 2 weeks now when we play our AFC divisional home game at home. So,
well, that's the thing about the bye too. Why the bye is so huge It gives everyone with nicks and bruises another week. You know,
one more
Cole and Sky get another week to heal up, and Frank gets another week. And you know, even though Tooney played, you know, he's been going through some injuries, like everyone is in the NFL at this point. Like, it just gives you, 13 days to not force it, get your body right, and get ready for a playoff game that's not going to be easy regardless of the four options that they're able to play.
Hey, 2 games to get to where you want to go. Job's not finished. It's 1 down, 3 to go. That's what Mantra's been saying since Saturday. So 1 down, we got 3 more left. So what do you think? What were your biggest takeaways from the game on Saturday,
Chris? I mean, the biggest talking point is ring around the rosy, snow globe, whatever you want to call that play. It is the greatest play that didn't count ever.
And it wasn't even holding.
It wasn't even. It was 2 pancakes. It was 2-3 pancaking in the end zone.
Come on, ref. Oh, at least make it look at least kind of reasonable, Chris.
I think he wanted to call taunting, but he couldn't, so he had to find something to.
Well, the play looked so good, we can't give him a touchdown.
Oh my goodness.
I think the funniest thing about that play is actually like the outrage that it's brought out of some fans and even some players. The Denver Bronco guard was talking about
it. Why is he even mad?
And yeah, why is he even being asked about it? And if he's not being asked about, why is he bringing it up on his own? And
I didn't know we played the Broncos last week, Chris.
Yeah, like, just that kind of impact it's had. And like, I could see where it's a little goofy, maybe it was a little unnecessary, but like, to be mad about it, like,
it's a football play.
Yeah,
like, what are we doing? Like, you acting like he went out there and like taunted after the play. We literally ran a distraction drill. Everybody does some kind of play that's quote unquote goofy in someone's mind.
Yeah, so, Andy had 4 dudes spin in the backfield in a Super Bowl game. Like, Like,
and you're mad about this?
Right. You're mad about a division. Maybe sticking it to a divisional rival a little bit. Like, you're mad about that? Really? Like,
but
I don't know.
Teams after the game want to drive around in the parking lot. But that's neither here nor there, Chris.
Right. Exactly.
No, my biggest takeaway would definitely be, obviously, like you said, the way the defense has been playing. But I'm going to give some flowers to the DBs, man. I know we've had a lot of talking points this year as far as, like, Josh Williams and Jalen Watson being the rookies of guys getting a lot of snaps and having to be prepared for these moments. And when you look at the snap count, obviously those guys are getting the bulk of the snaps. And Trent McDuffie and Jerry Sneed is going to be our – that's going to be our combo and be our tandem for years to come. We're going to lean on those guys during this playoff run. So to see as well as those guys played and to see Juan Thornhill get a pick and Justin Reed get a couple PBUs, he's been playing well ever since the Cincinnati game, and he's been showing up as well. For that group to kind of find their niche and get their feet going and get their mojo going this time of year, it's definitely great to see because we know they're going to be tested early and often in these next three games, Chris.
Right. And, you know, to kind of the whole defense played well. They were playing a backup quarterback, and they, you know, take what you will. But honestly, I know you like the corners. I like seeing the middle, you know, the linebackers and the safeties play a little bit better this week, because that to me at this point in the year is by far the biggest weakness. You know, the corners are going to make some rookie mistakes. The D-line, you know, if Chris Jones isn't doing it, they don't quite have another star. So, but for me, it's Thornhill, Bolton, and Reed in coverage have been a little iffy at times this year. That's why you see a lot of teams attack the middle of the field through the passing game. You know, every time it's always between the hashes, I swear.
When a big middle of the field, that's where the NFL's won.
So, you know, Thornhill getting a couple picks here to end the year, including one against the Raiders, and just them, you know, they ran a Tampa 2 where Nick Bolton did a really good job getting deep. I know I'm getting into the weeds a little bit here, but just overall, they played a lot better these last couple weeks up the middle, and that's my biggest concern, so that was good to see.
No, absolutely. This is the time of the year where we said we wanted to see the guys start trending in the right direction, and we've been saying that since Houston, Seattle, Denver, and now Vegas, and to see them put it together, I think that was probably one of our most dominating performances on defense, probably since the first Denver matchup, given the second half was bad because we kept giving them short fields. But overall, to see the defense get turnovers, see the defense get sacks and get to the quarterback, and actually, like, I know it was a backup quarterback, but to see Justin Reed just make a play on the ball, Chris, that's the thing I've been wanting to see from him. Because I know a lot of times the ball's in the air, guys have bad ball skills, don't know how to play the receiver. And to see him actually go out there and make some plays on a guy like Darren Waller, who's one of the better tight ends in the league, to see him make plays on him was very encouraging to see. Juan Thornhill's had back-to-back weeks with picks, so that's good as well. So to see guys just make plays, and at this time of the year, Chris, you want confidence.
Right.
So if guys are playing better and getting their confidence up, Willie Gay making plays, and obviously it's going to help guys like Nick Bolton, who sets the standard for the whole defense. Him and Chris have to set the tone. If Nick is making plays in the backfield and Chris is getting to the quarterback, this defense plays a lot better, and they kind of bring that energy. So it's like you said, next week and 2 weeks, the matchup is not going to be easy at all, whether it's the L.A. Chargers or the Jacksonville Jaguars, but you have to be ready for your opponent. And granted, we have some familiarity with both of these teams, so I do like that about the matchup as well, Chris.
Right, and there's even a chance that Lamar could come or, you know, Miami with who knows. Like, those are obviously a lot less likely because we put the Bills and the Bengals, who the Dolphins and Ravens would be playing against. You know, that's quite a matchup for those teams. But still, I don't know if I want to see Lamar Jackson coming back trying to prove a
Lamar.
Point. You know, and
I hope he comes back, man.
So, like, whoever outside of the Dolphins, because I don't think they're going to have Tua, so they don't really scare me without Tua, even with Tyreek revenge game or whatever you want to call it. The other three possibilities with, you know, the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson. Mm-hmm. The Herbert Chargers getting the third crack at the Chiefs this year.
Pretty tough, man.
Or, you know, the MVP and Lamar. All three of those matchups, you know. Obviously, the Chiefs will be favored. I'll still feel better about those games than what the AFC Championship game could be. But still nervous.
No, absolutely. You have to respect your opponent because all those teams offer difficult challenges when you're looking at Lamar and his legs. And obviously, Jacksonville has a lot of guys that can make plays and in their secondary. And then, obviously, we look at the Dolphins and all their speed, and definitely you can never count out the Chargers. That's our division rival. We see them, excuse me, we see them twice a year, now three times a year. It's hard to beat anybody three times. So as far as the playoffs matchup, it's kind of daunting right now. But, I mean, like Chris said, it's most likely going to be either the Jaguars or the Chargers because, in my opinion, I don't know if Lamar does come back, and if he does, I don't see them beating the Bengals.
Right.
And Cincinnati is just – he hasn't played football in a month, so I just don't see that happening, even though I would love for them to do our dirty work for us. But and then obviously the Dolphins are dealing with Tua's head injury, and then the Bills just got gifted two kick returns. I don't know how did they get – when have you ever seen Bill Belichick, Chris, give up two, not one, two kick returns to the same person in the same game? I didn't know that was Devin Hester back there. What are we doing?
It's special, man. There's something in the air for those Bills that day. And, you know, I was listening to C-Dot earlier, and he was talking about how, you know, if you believe that the NFL is scripted, if the Bills don't win the Super Bowl this year, then that I don't ever want to hear that excuse ever again.
That's a fact. It's written for them, boy.
You know, it's great to hear that DeMar's doing better. Yeah. He's actually back in Buffalo, and, you know, our thoughts and prayers remain with him. But
shout out to DeMar, man. Glad to see you up, man.
That scene and how scary it was Monday.
Absolutely, man. It's crazy.
And the response that's come from it, like, if you're one of those NFL scripted guys, then Buffalo better at least be in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. This is the year. Everything is going on.
Right. So, but no, what Naeem Hines was able to do against.
I just never seen Bill kick it to a guy twice. Like, after he returned, he's like, all right, we're not going to kick it to him again. He did it right next to him. I'm like, wow. He did it again.
Maybe Bill didn't want to be embarrassed in the playoffs, you know. Like,
maybe Bill was trying to give him something good to make him feel good about themselves.
Because if they won that game, they were probably playing the Bengals. And I don't know if he wanted to get embarrassed by the Bengals. You're right. Let's just call it a year, you know, get these guys right.
No, shout out to DeMar, man. Definitely glad to see him back on his feet. That was a scary play. You play football your whole life, and you see hits like that all the time, just a normal routine. Tackle, get on the ground. He stood right back up after the play was over. So and then obviously he passed out, and I'm thankful for the medical staff and everyone that's involved with the UC hospital and then the medical team to go out there and get him back on his feet and get him rested. So definitely glad to see his face, see him smiling, because you never want to see anyone go down like that. That's traumatizing for not only the coaches and the players, but for fans and everyone that's involved as well. So
for
I know
sure.
It's kind of bigger than football. That's why we took the last week off of the episode. I think me and Chris tried to show respect to Buffalo and to DeMar and his family and try to show a little love to them as well. So glad to see him back out there for sure.
Right. And for not that this necessarily matters much, but we typically record on Monday nights when it happened. And I don't know about you, but Monday and Tuesday wasn't enough time for me to quite want to be sitting here talking football. Absolutely. During that time. So
I was watching the game with some buddies and I was like, yeah, I don't know what to think, man. I need some days to process this.
Right. For sure.
Absolutely. You know.
But getting back to the football, it is unfortunate, whatever you want to think about, it is a good segue into the outcome of the game being canceled, rightfully so. Mm-hmm. Where do you land on this whole neutral site game? Because a lot of Chiefs fans I've seen have been up in arms about this whole ordeal.
I mean, like me and you said when we talked about it, there's no one way to really make all parties kind of happy about the situation. Everyone's going to be involved in some way. Because when you look at the scenarios, it only really affected four teams, Chris. So I know everyone was kind of had an opinion about it, but it really only affected the Ravens, Chiefs, Bills, and Bengals. Those are the only four teams that affected. Everyone else pretty much stayed in place. So I look at it as if I don't mind the neutral site game because they're trying to compensate for Buffalo, whose player went down and didn't get a chance to finish the game. But I think what could have been better if the league would have done this, if you're making that AFC Championship game neutral, you probably should have made the Buffalo Bengals potential matchup in the division. That game should have been neutral as well. Because neither team got to finish the game. Obviously, it was in Cincinnati when the incident had happened. So to give them the rematch in Buffalo, that's kind of not fair to Cincinnati if we're talking about fairness at that point. So if we're going to move the AFC Championship game to a neutral site, that divisional potential matchup of the Bills and Bengals should have been neutral as well. That's probably the one thing that I would take away. But outside of that, I wasn't too upset about anything else they had, honestly.
Right. No, and I'm with you, too. It's like the actual, you know, if you want to call it an issue that I had with it was the Bengals kind of, they were going to have to potentially coin flip with the Ravens. Fortunately, they won, so the Ravens weren't even affected by this.
Exactly.
But, yeah, like the Bengals, you know, kind of losing out on their opportunity to essentially get the 2 seed, mm-hmm. and they aren't able to play a neutral field. But to any Chiefs fan that's mad about, like, the Chiefs having to potentially play a neutral site only against the Bills, it's like the Chiefs weren't in control of their own destiny.
We didn't win our
tragedy game. Happened.
Exactly.
You become in charge of your own destiny. And the only way that you can play a neutral site championship game is if the team that suffered that tragedy wins 3 straight games. Exactly. I think at that point, that team deserves the neutral site game.
Exactly. And we kind of knew how this was going to go. Like, hey, if they're going to benefit someone before the news broke, they're going to benefit Buffalo.
Yeah.
They lost the most. So
Right. They literally lost the control. They literally lost, you know, not only their player, but as, you know, which we don't need to talk about more, but like they lost the ability to control their own destiny. So giving them a neutral site field, I don't think is a horrific outcome if you're
and
Chiefs.
Like, it actually kind of works out in our favor because obviously we would love to have the game at home regardless. But out of Buffalo and Cincinnati, which team obviously offers the most headaches and as far as the matchups wise, obviously Cincinnati offers more headaches given the fact that
which fan base is more annoying to
oh, God. We can go on and on about that one. I think that would be a tie. So obviously, like from a football standpoint, for me, Chris, I know you can speak on it as well. Cincinnati offers much more headaches to me than playing Buffalo. Obviously, both offenses are very explosive. Both teams have very good players on defense. But the way Cincinnati's playing right now on the offensive side of the ball, even though, unfortunately, they just lost another offensive lineman this week, I think their right guard went down, and I believe he hurt his ACL or his knee. So that's two starters they're down right now. But overall, the fact of as far as like game planning and trying to design a defense to stop those guys, stopping T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, and Tyler Boyd is much, much, much more difficult than stopping Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis, even though that's saying a lot because both units are really good. But the Bengals have three receivers that can easily go over your head any day and make a play. So if we get the Bengals at home, Chris, and we have to play the Bills on a neutral site, I'm not too mad about that because we know how Chiefs Kingdom travels. So. Yeah. I'm not too upset about it.
No, for sure. And just kind of go into like which one would you have more? There's no right answer. There's no wrong answer.
Exactly.
If you're telling me though, I either get the Bengals at home in Arrowhead or I get the Bills at a neutral site, I'm taking the Bengals, even though I think the Bengals are a slightly better team at this point.
It's at the crib.
Yeah, it's in Arrowhead. You got the fans behind you, and people be like, "Oh, the Chiefs are 2-2. Like, does home field even matter?" It's like they're 2-2 in the AFC Championship game with two overtime losses. Like, I think the home field's doing its fair share there. Like, you know, even Tom Brady lost to the Jets in
I remember that one,
right, in Gillette Stadium. And, well. Yeah, and so like, you know, even the greatest lose in their home in the AFC Championship game. So
it happens. Yeah.
So, no, it is, definitely.
Like, I'm not worried about it. Honestly.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Like, to have a chance to go to your fifth straight AFC Championship game, regardless if they're at home on the road, it's hard to try to compete for a Super Bowl mm-hmm. 5 years in a row, Chris. I don't care where the game's being played. So, the fact that we're in that position, I think that also the stat came out within the first, since 2018, we're tied with 60 plus wins in that 5 year span with the 2000 Colts and 2000 Patriots. And I think the late 2000 Colts for that span of 60 wins plus or more. So since Pat Mahomes has been here, we've racked up 60 wins since 2018. So you can't be mad about the dominance. I know people are frustrated with the game last year versus the Bengals, but to be in this position to compete for a Super Bowl every year, Chris, I know it flies by. I still remember Pat's first year.
Right.
And it's crazy. Now we're sitting up here trying to go to a fifth straight AFC Championship game.
I appreciate
all these moments, Chris, because there was a long time ago we weren't even thinking about it.
Right.
And now we're doing this every year as a routine. So I'm very grateful and thankful for the moment. We can't control all the scenarios like things that happen in Buffalo, but we can control what we do now, Chris. And going forward, we have a chance to win two games to get to the dance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you can ask for at this point.
For sure. I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit. I need some playoff X factors, one from each side of the ball. I'm eliminating three on each side. Okay. I'm eliminating Chris Jones, Nick Bolton, and Legarius on the defense. You can't pick them because duh. And on the offense, I'm eliminating Mahomes, Travis, and McKinnon, because when you have more receiving touchdowns than Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill, you're allowed to be eliminated from the X factor. So with those guys not on the board, who are you taking?
As far as defense, our X factor for me, you said no Legarius, you said no Chris, and no Bolton.
Mm-hmm.
My X factor would be Trent McDuffie. Obviously, like we know how Snead has been an elite corner over the years as far as coverage and tackling in the backfield, but Trent McDuffie's been a guy that's played like a veteran since he's been here. And I know he's kind of been people kind of short living his career because he missed a lot of games due to the hamstring injury. But since he's gotten back, he's one of the best coverage corners in the league. And I know people don't want to believe it based off the numbers, but the way he played versus Cincinnati and the way he's been playing since then, he's making plays in the backfield and he's been making plays in the slot, which they've kind of been going vice versa with him and Snead. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
They've been kind of lining up Snead outside and putting Trent in the slot. So I love the fact we have another corner that we can depend on and make plays. So that would definitely be my defensive X factor, would be Trent McDuffie for sure. My offensive X factor, no Pat, no Trav, and no Jerry McKinnon. I'm going to go Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, there you go.
Kadarius Toney, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he showed his explosiveness since he's got here. Every time he touches the ball, he's a guy that can make a play and go to the crib. He can literally make a negative play turn into a positive play, kind of similar to what we did when we had Tyreek Hill. So when you have a guy like Kadarius Toney and Mecole Hardman on the same field, who we've yet to see on the field together at the same time, 100% full go, which I'm very excited to see in 2 weeks. It's very hard for the defense to stop you. We saw that play, the snow globe play, where we gave it to him on the throwback. He broke a tackle, got in the end zone. They said, oh, we're going to give it to him again. Same type of play, going in a straight line on jet sweep. Broke a tackle, boom, boom. Next thing you know, he's in the end zone. Kid is just special with the ball in his hands. Oh, I know people are kind of worried about his hamstring injuries, and me and Chris, knock on wood, we don't want anything to happen. But Kadarius is very, very, very hard to tackle and get on the ground. So if you have a guy like that, you can put in motion and defenses have to respect. Then you add a guy like Mecole Hardman and his speed as well. It's going to be very, very hard for defensive coordinators to try to game plan against those guys. And I know Eric Bieniemy and Andy are kind of licking their chops getting into the red zone. When you can have those two guys on the same side of the field or opposite wise and putting them in motion, you can put those guys in the backfield. It's going to be very, very, very interesting to see what they do in the playoffs. And I'm super excited to see those guys. So those will be my X factors, Trent McDuffie on defense and Kadarius Toney on offense.
Did Kadarius have the best juke that only resulted in an extra yard and a half ever?
I think he's going to break someone's kneecap. I'm not lying. Every time he plants, I'm like, God, how are you guys moving with him?
It was obviously a different play, but you know, just because of how filthy the juke was, it made me think about the Dante Hall play against the Broncos.
So, it is same type. You're right.
If you have never seen that play, go to YouTube and type in Dante Hall juke Broncos, and it is the greatest juke in NFL history.
The kids weren't outside for Dante Hall X Factor, man. Throw up that X, baby.
Oh my goodness. So for my X Factor, it depends on how extreme I want to go. Do I want to go like guys who like Kadarius and McDuffie who are going to get reps, going to be on the field a lot, or do I want to go with low rep guys who I think are going to make, you know, 2 to 3 plays a game? Since you beat the big guys, I'm going to go with the smaller guys. My defensive guy is going to be Colin Saunders. That man has been like,
I think, baby.
It'll be a small impact, but I think he's going to have a couple plays each game to where you see big old 99 out there getting in the backfield, you know, tipping a pass, whatever the case may be. Or as we kind of got a sneak peek, catching a touchdown pass from Mahomes.
You saw Sir Big in the backfield.
Oh, man. He was wide open. I don't know what Patrick was doing. I don't know what Patrick was doing. He threw it away. He's like, if you give another half second, you know, hit. So that's my defensive guy / maybe offense. We'll hold our breath there. But the low-key offense guy, and it's a guy who it's what he does every week. But Noah Gray, man, he just
– makes plays, man.
They draw up one or two plays for him every week. You know, that's all they ask him to do, whether it's a tight end screen. I think he's had a couple wheel routes for big plays, but, like, that's about all they ask from him, and he executes. So maybe this isn't an X-factor, you know, a surprise X-factor by taking Noah Gray, but I just think that there's so much attention on Travis all the time, but especially in the playoffs, I think Noah Gray can maybe see. He hasn't been in the end zone, except I think he caught one touchdown this year, right?
He got one.
Yeah, and so I think we could see a couple play, kind of like the Blake Bell play, you know, kind of that kind of style. Blake Bell's a legend in Kansas City history, just for that, yeah, you know, like an Eric Fisher's thing. I think Noah Gray kind of has the same kind of role this year.
Exactly.
So.
No, absolutely. Those are two.
I went dark horse X factors.
Hey, we have. I think we're one of the first teams to have. I think Pat had 12 guys or 13 catch a touchdown this year.
Right. It was 12 or 13.
Yeah, I think it was 12.
Passed to himself. I wish he would have found a way to. Done the old Mariota and
6 yards counted towards both of those. He helped me with my fantasy league that year. Oh yeah. Last time we talked, shout out to Patrick Mahomes, man, MVP in our hearts, MVP for the league. Hopefully, Walter Payton Man of the Year. He helped me win my fantasy league. I already love 15. As if I didn't love him anymore. Thank you, Patrick. I'm gonna give you a standing ovation round.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, my bank account. Thank you, Pat. You the best, man. Beers on me whenever I see you in the city, man.
Yeah, you're going to make the $500 million man. You're going to buy him a beer.
Okay, I ain't going to make him pay for it. That'd be wrong. I'm like, hey, bro, you want me in my fantasy league? Can you buy me a beer?
You've been waiting 2 weeks to talk about that fantasy, dude.
Hey, God. When I won my league, I was like, Pat, you the GOAT, bro. When he threw that touchdown to Jerry McKinnon, I was like, thank you, sir. And I cashed out. Oh, yeah, I've been telling y'all to listen to me, man. CJ Sportsbook, I've been cashing people out, Chris. Shout out to my guy Brock on Twitter. He said, bro, that Jared McKinnon anytime touchdown was the easiest money. I'm like, I keep telling everyone, bro, that's 7 weeks in a row, 8 weeks in a row, he's had a touchdown. He has more receiving touchdowns, like Chris said, more than Tyreek Hill, more than Justin Jefferson. Those are two of the top three receivers in football. What are we doing, Chris? What are we doing?
Right. Oh, man. All right. Hey, maybe we'll have to start doing a betting show where you do all the talking and I'll just be sitting here taking notes.
Hey, I could give out some parlays and some straight bets that I like. You see, I got to cook up some for divisional game. I'll think of something.
There you go. There you go. I have to see who the Chiefs play.
Absolutely.
Anything else you want to get into before we kind of wrap this up and about the game or just the playoffs in general?
No, man. Just thankful for the week off. Thankful to get guys healthy. And you see Pat and Andy kind of know what this moment is. And you can kind of see when guys are in the locker room post game, as far as like Travis and everyone else, all the veterans, they kind of been here before. They kind of know what it feels like to get to this moment. And you can see they were kind of like not pissed off, but just had a focused look on their face, Chris. Like, guys know this that time of year, like, hey, this is cool. This is what we're supposed to be. We're not shocked by doing what we're doing. Like, losing guys in the offseason, guys coming in who are new faces in new places, we're expected to hold that standard. Our standard is compete for a championship every year. So this is the type of year we lock in, we get focused, and thankfully we have a week off to get guys healthy. And like you said, Chris, to cover up some of those nicks and bruises and get ready for this playoff run, man. We got one game down, three to go. So job's not finished.
For sure, for sure. All right, before we get out of here, predict the Chiefs are going to be playing in the divisional round, and I need an upset of the week in the divisional round.
I am banking on the Chiefs will be playing the Brandon Staley or Doug Peterson. Oh, that's a tough call. The Kansas City Chiefs will be playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ooh, that's what I'm
okay. You got an upset of the week?
Am I upset of the week? Upset of the week. If y'all really want to make some money talking about sportsbook, go to your local betting app, whatever it is, or local casino. Put some money down. Chris, you should do this. I'm not lying. This is more than likely to happen. Put some money down on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus money. It's not even like a debate. I think they're like at +3.5 right now against the Cowboys. They literally lost to the Commanders playing their backups. I'm not taking the Cowboys serious right now. Tampa Bay +3. If you're really feeling frisky, take Tampa Bay money line. That would be a good one as well. I'm comfortable with either play because I honestly do not see the Cowboys winning that game. They're going to play hard. I'm not saying they're going to lay down, but the way the Cowboys have been playing and trending, they have upset written all over them. And we know Tom Brady, if you give him the ball with a drive left to win the game, I'm not trying to go through that, even think about that scenario for the Cowboys right now. So, yeah, take the Tampa Bay with the plus points or Tampa Bay money line. Those would be two bets I'm very, very, very high on this week.
Okay. I like it. On my front, I'm taking the Chargers. That's where I think that's going to go. It's going to be tough. You know, the Chargers always find a way to lose it, and they're traveling all the way to the East Coast. But I don't know. Maybe I'm putting too much into one game, but I just really didn't like how Trevor Lawrence played in that had to have it Titans game on Saturday, you know. So it makes me a little nervous about the playoffs. But it'll also be Herbert's first playoff game, so that'll be an interesting matchup for sure. See, my upset's also in the NFC, but it's the Giants, man.
I had that one too. That's my second one.
Yeah, like the last time the Giants played the Vikings, it took a last-second field goal. The Giants didn't even play that great, you know, and it's like they're going back to Minnesota. I think the Giants are playing a lot better football than the Vikings are. And
no, I agree with you. I put those both on my ticket. I put the Giants at +3.5, and I took the Bucks at +3 as well. So either one of those teams, I could easily see an upset. So, you are just like me. I like both of those plays.
Yeah, I think it makes too much sense for – I was a little bit on the Cowboys there a couple of weeks ago when we talked about this. I said they were the third team in the NFC, but it's a two-team race at this point. You know, it's the Eagles and the 49ers. Oh, yeah.
Also, if you guys want to add to your parlay, I'm not even trying to troll Cowboys fans. Dak Prescott has thrown an interception, Chris, in 7 straight games. I'm not joking. I cashed in on it this week. Anytime interception by Dak Prescott, put a straight bet or add it to your parlay, you're probably going to make some money. Go look it up. It's been like 7 weeks straight. Mm-hmm. Interception. It's disgusting. Add it to your parlay. You'll make some money.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, we got to start a betting show to get CJ start letting that knowledge.
I try to help the people out, man. I made my guys some money last week with the Kadarius Toney touchdown. So I'll see if I cook up
Kadarius and McKinnon. You had both?
I did have both.
Oh my gosh.
And I had Pacheco. I had them all on my parlay. I'll be hitting.
You had all three on your parlay.
One of them I had Pacheco and I had McKinnon. The other one I had Kadarius Toney and the Chiefs money line. But all three of them hit. I'm like, whoo.
Okay.
I'm trying to make some money, Chris. I'm trying to help the people out, man.
Hey, and where can the people go to get helped out?
The people can definitely reach me on Twitter. My ad is CGZ81, that's CJEEZY81. My DMs are open if you guys want to talk bets, you want to talk fantasy, football, breakdown film. I'm trying to add more plays to our page. try to figure out a way to do that as well. But yeah, anything you guys got, questions, concerns, please interact with the page. Please follow the page at the Aftermath KC. Me and Chris do a great job. We try to interact with all of our fans. Thank you guys so much for supporting us. The regular season went by so fast. It feels like we were just at the beginning of the season talking about camp and signing guys like Sky Moore and George Karloftis. And now we're 17 games by and it's already done. Now we're in playoff form. So January football is here. I'm super excited. Chris is my guy as always. I just couldn't imagine doing it to nobody else. He's my guy. Been rocking with me since day one. And I'm super excited for the playoffs, man. I can't wait for Arrowhead to be rocking, man. There's nothing like Arrowhead January football, man. Nothing like it.
Man, CJ, I love doing these things with you, too. I know we don't have a lot of fans, but I couldn't imagine. I always light up talking about football with you for 30 to hour, however long we go. We never have a time set. We just roll until we roll. Always have an absolute blast with you, man. It's a blessing to be on here with you. For me on Twitter, you got to find me at 10penny88. I'm in Oklahoma, so I don't have the betting capabilities like CJ. And even if I did, I know I wouldn't hit as good as this man does. So if you need betting advice, you know, I'm not your guy. Stick with the CGZ. But
Chris got you guys too. Don't let him fool you.
Maybe baseball season, but you know, no one's listening to this for baseball takes. No one's listening to this for baseball takes. So, but all right, that is going to do it for this week. We'll talk to you next time.
Chiefs.